Good morning, LMCC. I'm happy to see you all this morning. We're going to continue on with a theme that we've been talking about, this idea of surrender and healing and freedom in this new year. I'm so excited to be able to do that with you all. I think God's got something for the people in this church that's really exciting. And so I want us to figure out the steps of how we go about getting after that together. And so I preached originally at the beginning of the month on this idea of surrender and how do we figure out what it is that we're still holding, that we haven't surrendered to God. And so I hope that you all have had time to spend time on that and thinking about that. What are the areas that I'm holding in reserve, that I'm holding away from God? And I shared with you on that sermon some things that God's revealed to me that I'm holding in reserve. And so I'm working on that actively. I encourage you to go back and listen to that sermon and connect it to this one later when you have time. But for this morning, we're going to talk about this idea of surrender from a place of how do I do that? We talked about the idea of surrender, and I'm going to reintroduce a little bit of that. But then, as I've been discussing things with you all and having conversations, there's just been this discussion about how do I do that? Well, the interesting thing is that we're shown how to do that in the Bible. And so I want us to be able to look at that together and think about Jesus's life and Jesus's ministry and the ways that he was able to surrender over and over and the way that he was able to teach his disciples to surrender. So that's our greatest model for that. So I want to go there with you this morning in the Bible and look through that. I want us to continue to press in together as we get into this season of healing and freedom. I believe that's what this year is going to be for us. I've been thinking about it. Even if everybody in this church was able to get freedom and surrender one new area to God this year, think of the power God could rush in behind that. We want to recognize that and help each other with that. So we need to figure out what to do with that thing that we know we're holding in reserve, those places in our heart that we know we're not letting God in, that we are not vulnerable in those places, that we're not allowing him to inform those places. I want to look at the word process with you. God will show us what he wants to restore, and he'll show us the process in which to do it. And so I want to lock on that word process with you. That's the linchpin of all this. We can surrender and conquer at the same time, simultaneously. So it doesn't have to be a separate process. It's an ongoing, lifelong process and something that we need to learn how to do. But ultimately, we have to want it. We have to want to be in total surrender to God to start the process. I was reading in a devotional I have, and I know a lot of you all have this devotional. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. Oswald Chambers published this devotional years ago. And he says, true surrender is not simply surrender of our external life, but the surrender of our will. And once that is done, surrender is complete. And so we have to think about this idea of it's not just a circumstantial surrender. It's not just a circumstantial surrender. It's a surrender of our will to God. And how do we do that? And what does that look like? We don't need to make this process seem so elusive. We have to get trained to conquer the things that we want to lay down, the things that we want to surrender to God. I would be willing to bet that most of us have areas that are easy to surrender to God. It's not hard to let him into certain areas. But then there's other areas where we think, oh no, that's really hard and I can't get in there with him. It won't happen by sheer will. We can't just say, I want this, and then push a button. It doesn't occur like that. Jesus had processes for his life. He had processes for his ministry. He had processes for how he spent his time and what he thought about and the way that he taught people and the way that he engaged with people. And he taught those processes to his disciples. And the whole intent was to live 100% all in with God. That was the whole purpose. We see this many times in the Bible. You'll see it in lots of places in the Bible. And I encourage you to look at those places in the Bible. The Psalms are a great place to go and look around for the ways that people were able to surrender and the ways that they were able to give God more access and they were able to lay things down and find peace. But Jesus showed us how to do it repeatedly in the Gospels. And so that's where we're going to go this morning, how he lived his human life. We've got to realize that the Gospels showed us all these areas of signs and wonders and miracles, and that's fantastic. And we want to see that because that informs us as well. But it really showed us how Jesus lived and how Jesus did the things that he needed to do to stay in alignment and in complete surrender into God's will. And so we see that as we walk through those. The first thing we have to do, though, as humans, right? Because we're not Jesus, and so we'll make the distinction here, because I know you all are thinking, well, wait a minute, Marcy, I'm not Jesus. I don't have that kind of control and power, and I understand that. We do have a model, though, and something that we can look to, something that we can model. We do have that, and that's the entire purpose of Jesus's ministry being laid out for us, was not just for us to understand it intellectually, but for us to understand it in our heart and to understand that we're made in the image of God, and that these are the things that God has given us to look to. But we've got to consider the cost to ourselves, right? So when we talk about this idea of surrender, and we talked about this before, most of us think, oh, no. I have to have something I'm in control of. I have to have parts of my life that are mine, right? We've got to consider the cost to ourselves. When God asks us to do something audacious, we have to take time to consider the cost. In Luke 14, there's a verse in there, and it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? This isn't determining if God can do what he's asked you to do. We're not having that conversation. We're not considering, can God do it? I can assure you, he can. What we're deciding is if we, as in our human nature, are willing to pay the cost, to lay down and surrender whatever it is that we need to do to become more in line with God's will. Are we willing? We've got to decide that. And so as we talk about this idea of, can I do this and how, we've got to decide if we're willing to do it. That's the first step, because you'll have to decide if it's worth it and what it means to you. Surrender's a hard thing to do, right? We know that. Sometimes we evade being captured by God, because to do so would mean surrendering some area of our life that we want to control. And so to live life to the fullest and the life that God's planned for us, we have to realize that his promises are best, that what he has for us is best. We'll have to wave the white flag of surrender, probably over and over and over. So once you acquire the white flag of surrender to God, don't get rid of it. Keep it, because I would suggest to you that you're going to need to use it repeatedly. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 4, he said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We think about that portion of scripture, right, where it's pretty quick, where Jesus says, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, and they lay down their nets and they come. And we see that as a pretty quick action, but we really need to understand the significance of that. When you look at the disciples there in Matthew, and I would encourage you to look through the book of Matthew or Mark or Luke, you can look through any of them and see the same premises for the way that Jesus asked people to lay down their livelihoods, asked them to lay down their family lives in some cases, asked them to lay down their things that they were in control of, the things that they thought were going to keep them able to run their lives. Jesus said, lay down your nets and come with me. And they laid down their nets and they went. And so we see that in the Bible, not because we're trying to make light of the fact that that's not an easy process, but we are looking at this idea that that's what Jesus said. Lay it down and come with me. There's a significance to lay down your net. Don't bring it with you. Right? Don't put it away for reserve in case we need to pull it out later. Lay it down and come with me. The disciples struggled during this. Don't be confused. As you read through the Gospels, the disciples struggled with this idea, and they had times where Jesus had to reassure and teach and scold and censure them because they had problems with this idea at certain points. So I certainly don't want to make that sound like that was a one-time instance for them. As we read through the Gospels, we see many times where there's questioning of that, where there's confusion about that. But ultimately, over their time with Jesus, that first action was critical, and we have to think about that. What's our first action with God? You've got to do the critical first action. And I would tell you, you're just going to have to do it afraid, right? I hear a lot of people say to me, I'm afraid of what God's asked me to do. I'm afraid of this circumstance that he's put me in. It's an area where we have to let go of control or confront our past fears or step out and lead something. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's pressing forward in spite of your fear. And so we're going to have to do it afraid. And Jesus showed the disciples over and over in the Gospels how to go ahead and do what he had asked them to do, even when there was fear involved, even when they were afraid. We see the disciples operate from fear with Jesus. In Matthew 8, Jesus sleeps through a storm in the boat, and the disciples are freaking out. Why are you asleep? We see that they learn quickly to just operate with Jesus afraid because he's there. He's going to cover it. We have to learn to remember that. We have to remember that Jesus is there and that he understands your fear and he understands your anxieties and he's there to cover those and provide that peace. We have to develop a plan in this process. We can't think to ourselves, I'm just going to push a button and I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to follow God. That would be wonderful if we could do that. But we're humans and our human nature is going to fight that. As well as you've got an enemy, right? We have an enemy who's saying, I don't want you any closer to God. I don't want you any more surrendered to God. I need you to stay in a place where I can jack around with you and I can mess with your thoughts and I can mess with how you feel because I don't want you to be fully surrendered to God because there's too much power in that. So you have opposing forces. You have your own will opposing. You have Satan opposing. All these things are coming to play. And so in order to look at your life in that way, we have to develop a plan in that process, and we see it modeled for us. We have to think about the vision that God has for us. We have to identify sort of our immediate targets. We have to develop what we're going to do in the moment and then how we're going to move forward. We're going to assemble our team, and then we're going to figure out how to storm the objective. And I'm going to talk to you all about that. It sounds like a military plan, right? Well, sorry, that's the way my brain works. But we have to think through the process. Anything that is really important to you, anything that you really want to get after, you're going to put a plan in place to get after that. This is no different. And God knows that, and he wants to help you develop that plan. Don't develop the plan out of our own human nature, because then it provides us another modicum of control. We want to develop the plan with God. And so I'll talk to you how do we do that. After we decide we're going to do it afraid, which is what we're going to have to do, right? Because there's no way that we're just going to be completely all in at one time in that first critical moment. Now later, that will become a more peaceful place to sit, but we've got to work to that. So we have to identify that target, right? The vision of what God has for us. We have to consider. I want you to think about the word consider. Considering implies that we have to think about it. We have to think about what we want to accomplish. We have to be self-aware of where we are and where we want to be and how's God leading us in that process. Without a plan, we're aiming at nothing, and you will hit nothing over and over and over. I can promise you that. So what do we need to begin that process? God will reveal through prayer and spending time with him. We start with bringing every thought captive and considering its value through prayer and discernment with God. What is he revealing to us? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us to bring every thought captive to God. We have to think about what that means. How do I bring every thought captive? As you're doing that with God, as you're thinking about that, it takes time in prayer with him. It takes time in sitting with him. When we have the thoughts that we think are counter to what God's trying to tell us to do, that we know are counter to us getting into deeper intimacy with him, we have to sit with those. We have to bring them captive to God. We have to ask him what he thinks about them. That's an important step. Then we have to decide where we're going to expend our energy, and we have to let God prioritize this. Am I going to spend my time in prayer and meditation in the scripture and staying with God longer and immersing myself? Am I going to spend time in immersive worship music and staying in that place longer? Am I going to study a book of the Bible because God has things to reveal to me there and there's places there where he'll help me lay things down? Am I going to study outside with people? And we'll talk about that. And what that looks like to have community and a team around you. Am I going to take advantage of resources such as professional counseling resources or other ways to work through trauma or past things that I need to work through? There's lots of ways that we need to think about that, but we have to figure out where we're going to expend our energy. Where is the energy going to go? Because I will tell you, without a plan for that energy, it gets diffused. And then it isn't helping anything at that point. There needs to be a plan for where the energy is going to go. Jesus talked about In the Gospels, and you'll see it over and over again if you read through, he made a plan for where he was going to expend his energy. Here's where I will do ministry work now. Here's where I will go next. Here's the places I will spend time. Here's the interactions I will have. They were specific. They were thought about. They were given to God. They were surrendered. So we have to make every thought surrendered to God. And then we have to make where we're going to spend our energy surrendered to God. We have to prioritize that. We have to develop the plan of what we're going to do, right? I was talking to some ladies that I spent some time with in prayer, and we've all spent some time preaching together, and we were talking about this idea of developing a neural pathway, which I love. One of the other ladies came up with it, so it's not my idea, but I love it. This idea of developing a neural pathway in our minds, that we start to make these new pathways for how we're going to think, what we're going to do with those thoughts, what we're going to do when we decide that we're going to spend energy on something. What is it for? Why are we going to do it? I know it sounds exhausting. I understand that, but it's equally and more exhausting to do things without submitting them to God. It's just exhausting in a different way. And so God will give us the energy to be able to come to Him and do these things. He'll give us the energy to be able to say, God, here's my thought. I need to give it to you. What do you think? I want you to hold it there and give me discernment. So I love the idea of a new neural pathway where we start to build this new place of thinking, this sovereign mindset. Everything is going to go to God. Everything is about aligning myself with His will. What does that look like? We have to schedule what we call come to Jesus meetings. In the Army, we used to say, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Let's go. I know y'all have heard that term. It gets used all over. But we used to say, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Let's go. Now, it could mean a couple of things. It could mean we're just going to get to the nitty gritty of what's going on. We're going to get all the other stuff away, right? We want to put it in a biblical term. We'll just say, we're going to move the wheat from the chaff, and then we're going to pay attention to what's really important. Or it could mean we were going to the woodshed. Which is sometimes what we need too, right? God needs to take us to the woodshed sometimes and say, you're not paying attention to me. But we need to schedule come to Jesus meetings for whatever God wants to reveal in that time with us. We have to have more than 45 minutes of church on Sunday. We have to have time with Him, individual time with Him. This is so incredibly important for us to be able to spend time together. It's incredibly important for you to spend time with God and Jesus by yourself. Got to schedule these meetings. What will we fill this pathway with? What needs to be present in this pathway in our brain for how we're going to take on this new sovereign mindset? You're going to find those things out in those come to Jesus meetings. Put it on your calendar. You got a million other meetings on your calendar. This one needs to take priority. Jesus and His promises will overcome your uncomfortableness in your human condition. I can promise you that. We have to know the plans of God and get in line with them. We have to spend time there. What did Jesus do when He was attempting to accomplish freedom for the people during His ministry? You have to read that. You have to get in the Gospels and see the things that He did. What did He spend time on? Where did He spend His energy? He didn't wing it. He knew He had to begin the work that needed to be done and use the knowledge He had of His God. And what had been revealed to Him daily and sometimes minute by minute, He had to go back and recheck that. He had to go back and soak in that. He made plans with the disciples about where they were going and what they were going to do. He was objective oriented, all while being surrendered to God's will. Don't confuse the two. I know you're objective oriented. I've met all of you. I understand how your brains work, and it's great. We have to submit it to God's will so that it's open to Him, so that He can do what He wants to do with it. Being objective-oriented is not the bad thing. I don't want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying not to be ambitious and objective-oriented and have goals. I'm saying to do them submitted under God's will, because it's the only way that you can lay down these areas that are ruling over you and that are keeping you from moving into God's will fully. I'm sure it was uncomfortable for the disciples at times. They tell us that in the Bible. We see that. We're able to open the Gospels and read those times when it was uncomfortable for them. But they understood what would happen if they stepped out of the plan. They understood what would occur. And so they were willing to stay in that place. Listen, Jesus didn't do this alone. He didn't walk this earth in His human form alone. He assembled a team. I want us to think about that because it's really important. You are not supposed to do this in isolation. You are not supposed to be on this journey with God in isolation. Jesus didn't work in isolation. He had a team and He knew when to access it. I know everybody is tired of Zoom. I got it. And I know you're thinking, in order for me to engage my community, I have to work all day on Zoom, and then I have to get off of that and move over to Zoom to engage my Christian community and to engage the people who are going to walk this out with me. And I am exhausted, and I understand that. But I am telling you, Zoom for lack of a better way to say this, is provision from God. Because if we didn't have that, think of the isolation that would be occurring. God has given us provision to get to each other. Jesus and his disciples were tired in their ministry. They had to walk hundreds and hundreds of miles to get to the places where God wanted them to go. And they were tired and they were exhausted. And I know you're exhausted. But we have to dig deeper. We have to find more grit in there if we want to gain freedom. There isn't any shortcut to it. There's no way to push a button. And there's no way to get closer to God by telling him that you're too tired to engage. We have to engage. We have to ask him for the energy to engage. We have to come out of isolation and be in community together. It is critically important. Jesus used those times with his disciples for prayer. He used them for equipping. He used them for teaching. He used them for company. He used them for rest. He was helping others meet and live into their potential, but he was also spending time in human company. He understood the importance of it. In Matthew 10, we see Jesus assemble his team, and he gives these eternal instructions to them. And they're for us as well. We are constantly equipping. We need to be constantly becoming equipped. If we are equipped in areas, we need to be constantly teaching. And his disciples lived in this constant learning mode with him of taking in the equipping and taking in the prayer and then using it in the way that God wanted them to and then continuing to circle back, continuing to become more equipped and then use it in the way that God wanted them to. Listen, even if you don't have freedom from the areas that you need to have freedom from, God is still trying to use you. He's not waiting for you to perfect that area. He's not waiting for you to get that area completely cleaned up before he can use you. Jesus didn't wait for the disciples to clean themselves up. We have to get in community together. We have to study together. We have to pray together. We have to spend time together. It's critical. Jesus' entire ministry was done in community. It was not done in isolation. Now, he had times of isolated prayer. He had times when he needed to be alone. We've discussed that before, and that's critically important. And I talked to you about that earlier in this sermon, that there will be times when you need to have a come to Jesus meeting by yourself, nobody else involved. And I encourage that. But there is equally important time where you need to be in the presence of other Christians, marching this thing out together. The Bible tells us that so clearly, that we need to study together and equip each other to do the work that we have to do. We need accountability. When we choose to live this way, we need to constantly encourage one another. It captures this idea of ongoing equipping and helping build one another for whatever God is that he wants you to do, whatever he has for you. The disciples were not staying still. They were surrendering daily while they were doing the work of God. They were continuing on. Don't be confused about that. There was constant movement. It's a lifelong parallel process. I'm gaining freedom and I'm surrendering daily and I'm doing the work that God has for me daily, and they're parallel and simultaneous. And I don't have to wait for one to do the other. And oh, by the way, God doesn't want me to. The Bible shows me that. Kingdom vision, seeing how you fit into God's plan. Where does he want you? Where does he want you broken and messy? Because he doesn't care. He just wants you to come to him so that he can get after all those areas in your heart and start to fix them up. And he can use you in that process. It will influence your choices. It will influence how you start to make these decisions if you understand where you fit into God's kingdom. And one of the ways to figure out where you fit into his kingdom is to get in community and figure out which part of the body you are, because you are part of it. You are marked. You are chosen. You are supposed to be part of the work of God. No one is left out of that. How might God use your specific gifts and talents to fulfill what he wants you to pursue and to bestow blessing on others? We have to see the call to community. It's important. See where Jesus was serving as you read through the Gospels, and see if any of your time is being spent that way. We need to look at where Jesus spent his time. Are we spending any of our time in the same way? It's important. We have to have freedom. We need freedom. I'm sure of it. This year is supposed to be a year of freedom. Everybody is going to gain freedom from something, and God is going to fill that in and give you something you didn't have before. As we walk out this process of continually surrendering to him and giving him access to all from a place of peace, in the same area of the Gospels that Jesus gave charge to his disciples to make them disciples to all nations, he also gave them peace. He gave it to them collectively because he knew they would need peace as they traversed the human life that he was giving them and the work that he had given them to do. But he also gave it to them individually so that they could stay in the fight. They could stay in their community. They could stay in the work that God wanted them to do. Remember, we often ask God to give us things that we already have. The Bible's already given you promises of certain things. You need to go in there and get them. Go in there and look for them. He's already given us the things we need to gain surrender and to gain freedom. But we have to access them, which means we need to spend time in study. We need to spend time in the Bible. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time with others. Rest is not a cessation of work. It's knowing how to work on the things God reveals to us from a restful peace, from a place of not of anxiety or shame or guilt, from a place of being so locked in to wanting to be under the protection and surrender to God that we're able to do the work from a restful place. He'll give you that provision if we ask for it, if we walk into it. We've got to fight discouragement in this area. We've got to fight the discouragement of, I don't want to be on Zoom. We've got to fight the discouragement of, I don't know how to do this. We have to fight the discouragement of, I've got to get in the Bible and look and see what God wants to reveal to me because I'm not sure he's going to. He is going to. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell you what you're not. It tells you what you are. And it is the best place to go to find out what you are and how you can access that and how you can employ that and how you can own that. We've got to get in the Bible. We've got to read the Gospels. We've got to look at the way Jesus spent his time. We've got to look at the way Jesus equipped and taught his disciples. Look at what he's saying to them. You can get many different versions of the Bible that will help you with this. You can get a New Living Translation, which I love. The New Living Translation has headers. It'll tell you what Jesus is going to do in that portion of the gospel, and it's so important to be able to read through there and understand context. You can look at some other versions of the Bible, some other translations, and all of Jesus' words are printed in red. Sometimes that's really helpful to look at that part that's printed in red and say, Jesus is talking to me. He is telling me what I individually need to hear. And then I can share that with others because I understand the distinction. Read the Bible, read different translations. I encourage you to do that. And you can read lots of areas like I told you before, but I would encourage you to get in the Gospels and see how Jesus did the things that he needed to do as he lived his human life here on earth. It's written there for you. It's to give you the template for how you're going to be able to become 100% in line with God's will. That was Jesus's whole purpose, was to make sure people understood how to become in line with God's will and how to live under his protection and his power. We have to read and understand that. So as we intentionally make a decision to surrender and explore God's promises to us, we need to have time of consideration. We have to make a new pathway for a sovereign mindset. Think about that. What is my pathway? How am I going to make every thought captive to God? How am I going to go back to him with that? We have to consider that. We have to address our fears and then decide to do it anyway, and that's okay. And guess what? You don't have to address your fear by yourself. Jesus wants to hear it, and we as your community want to hear it, and we want to be in that with you. We'll walk it out with you afraid. That's all right. We have to develop a plan together, individually and together, of reading through the Gospels and seeing how Jesus spent his time and seeing if we spend our time in a similar way. And how did God respond to that? He'll respond to you the same way. That's why it's written down for us. It's important. We have to assemble the team, guys. We have to get involved. We cannot be isolated. I cannot make that clear enough. There is nothing about Jesus's ministry that was done in isolation. He allowed people to be part of it. He allowed people to be with him. He wanted to connect and have community. He wanted to be out with people. And I understand that we're living in this really weird time right now, and some of that isn't allowed. But you know what? There is provision available. There's provision available. We have to take advantage of that. We need to study together. We need to be in community together. We need to equip each other. We need to pray with each other. Don't leave that on the table. And then together we can storm the objective in peace with the hope and expectation that we are going to gain freedom and that we are going to be more in line with what God has for us. This needs to be the year of healing and freedom for all of us. How exciting is that? That we might be able to gain some freedom together, that we might be able to lay down those areas that we weren't supposed to be carrying anyway. God tells us, change your heavy yoke out with my light yoke and do it over and over and over. It's not a one-time process, right? We go back to the beginning of the sermon where I told you I want to focus on that word process. This is a process, and there's many things we need to put in place, and they're all available to you. I want us to understand the importance of what God has for us. I don't want you to miss anything. I don't want you to spend one more day living underneath something that's ruling over you that God never intended to be there. I don't want you to live one more minute thinking I'm out of the will of God and I don't know what to do about it. I want you to get a plan. I want you to get in there and get started, and we will be right alongside you to do that. We're excited about what God has for each of us individually. We're excited about what he has for this church collectively. We're going to continue to march that out with you. We're going to continue to offer all the things that we think God's telling us to bring to bear against that. We want you to be involved and take advantage of those things. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for these people. We're so incredibly grateful you allow us to gather. You allow us to hear from each other. You allow us to spend time together. God, we know that there's work to be done. We know that you've shown us in the Bible how to go about that work. I ask that you give us the energy to plow in there. Find those places that are for us, that you're revealing to us individually, that you want us to get involved in. We're so grateful that that's written down for us, that we can look at that. Lord, I ask that you continue to give us energy to get involved in those places and involved in those areas, that we would read through the Gospels, that we would see the way that Jesus spent his time, and that we would ask you, where do you want us? What do you want us to do? That we would continue to build that new neural pathway, that new area where you can fill in only the things that are from you and nothing else can be involved in there. None of these other things can fill in there, that it will be completely and totally a pathway to you. We're so grateful for that. Lord, I ask this in your son's holy name. Thank you. We're so grateful for this time together and this time that we get to spend together. We're grateful that we still get to continue to connect with you all, even in the midst of everything that's going on. Thank you for being with us. We're going to worship now. I ask as you listen to this next song that you think to yourself, where am I going to start? What's the next step? Where do I step off in this place of surrender and getting to this place of 100% alignment in God's will, which is a process? Where am I going to start my process? I love you.